Hello, my name is Brian Chesmore, and today we are discussing how to build a spiritual community, which is session 4 in your Equipped notebook. So let's look at session 4, building a spiritual community. We start with Roman numeral 1, small groups, a context for the Spirit's work. As we mentioned in the last session, building a relational community, small groups are more than social gatherings or discussion groups. They are contexts in which men and women who have been made alive by God in Christ may experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit together. As a result of God's initiative in saving us, our meetings become contexts to practice the exercise of the Spirit's gifts to one another. This is what makes small group gatherings exciting. When we gather, we should anticipate the active ministry of the Holy Spirit as we serve one another to the glory of God. As we meet to study and apply God's Word and pursue fellowship together, we want to make room for the Spirit's ministry and direction. What's vital for you to see is that faith-filled, biblically informed leadership is a significant factor in a small group's experience of the Holy Spirit's ministry. A leader can hinder the work of the Spirit, or he can make room for his work in such a way that people experience profound care. Your leadership can be a means of men and women encountering the gracious ministry of God's Spirit. And we can be confident that such ministry will be effective and not lead people into error if we ensure that our ministry to one another is grounded in Scripture and overseen by pastors in a local church. Three ways we're going to talk about today in which we participate as a small group in the Spirit's work are through prayer, song, and spiritual gifts. Let's talk about the first way we build a spiritual community, by praying together. From its inception, the church has gathered to pray. We see that clearly in Acts 2:42. When our prayers are grounded in the gospel, and that's the powerful truth that Jesus died for our sins, we remind one another of the access we have to God, which should only inspire great requests to God. When we pray with thanksgiving, we help our group express gratefulness to God for His work in our lives. By recounting His grace with gratitude to Him, we encourage our own souls. When we pray as a group for individual needs, we can express care for one another. Have you ever been in a small group setting, sharing a trial or a struggle that you have with sin? The ministry of the Holy Spirit through prayer is significant. What an opportunity we have to help others cast their cares on their loving Father as we join together in praying for their specific need. And when we pray, we teach each other to petition God with specific, biblically informed requests. We pray in accordance with what the Bible teaches us about God and about His promises. Here are some suggestions of how you can lead in prayer. Invite the group to state what they're asking of God, and solicit the group for specific requests. So we're not just praying vague prayers. We're asking God to meet us in specific ways for specific needs that we're aware of. We can do this by encouraging the group to form requests around God's promises stated in the Bible. Many times our requests become opportunities for us to understand our circumstances and what our biblical response is to be to those circumstances. At times you may have to encourage or redirect requests if they indicate ungodly or unbiblical desires, reminding the group that God desires us to pray according to His will. You're gracious, but clear leadership will serve them to think rightly about God and how to think rightly about their circumstances before God. At times, you may want to restrict your prayer to giving thanks for specific help or to praising God for His character and His deeds. It can help to begin a time like this looking at a particular passage of Scripture. At Covenant Life, we often do this as pastors and as small groups to make sure that we together are reminding each other of the grace of God. As we give thanks, we make sure that we stay amazed by grace. Here's some examples of how we can do this. We can focus on the extent of God's love. We see that in the very familiar passage in John 3:16. We can pray with thanksgiving for His remedy of our desperate need. We can pray with thanksgiving for His complete provision for our salvation. We can pray with thanksgiving for the blessings associated with salvation. And we can pray with thanksgiving for our access to His throne of grace. It can be helpful for you as the leader to encourage faith toward God in difficult circumstances. Because of what Jesus has done, we can come boldly with our requests. Encourage your group to participate actively by giving vocal agreement when others are praying. This may require repeated attempts by you as the leader, but encourage them to pray together in faith. Praying together is not one person praying and others simply listening. Rather, it is a group of people joining together in one another's prayers. Encourage your group in what we call the ministry of the Amen, literally saying, "May it be so," as you agree with others vocally as they pray. You're agreeing before the Lord, "Yes, may this be so, Lord." A second way we can build a spiritual community in our small group is to sing together. We talked about praying. Let's talk about singing. Singing is one of the ways God has given us to give Him glory as we meet together. How many times do we read in the Psalms a command to sing to the Lord? Singing together can accomplish a number of purposes, including praising God, praying, confessing our need to God, and encouraging one another. This is what we see happening throughout Scripture, and in particular by the psalmists. A primary purpose in Scripture for singing is to proclaim God's character, to recall His word, and to delight in His promises. This is why we sometimes refer to singing together as worship, literally declaring God's worth or value. Although all of life should be an act of worship to God through Jesus Christ, God delights in the praise of His gathered people. Now, due to a lack of musicians or musical ability, it's not our expectation as pastors or a requirement that every small group will worship God together in song. You don't have to sing to have a successful small group meeting. But we should, however, seek to make all aspects of prayer a part of our time of seeking God together. If you don't sing together, please take time to give thanks to God for what He has done. Declare aspects of His greatness. Confess confidence in His promises. I've found that reading Scripture aloud can be one of the most effective ways to do this. If you do decide to worship God through singing, here are some helpful things to remember. First, make sure that the music you use is singable for a small group. Make sure that the key is a reasonable one for men and women to sing in. Make sure that the songs are God-centered. This is so important. Make sure that they have accurate theological content. And your pastor or your church music director can help you with this. If you are led by a musician, make sure that he or she has the necessary skills to allow the music to enhance singing and that it's not a distraction to your worship. If you aren't careful, you could make some humorous but unintended memories in this area. To obtain further training for a musician to lead singing in your group, ask your pastor for a copy of Bob Coughlin's message and outline, Worshiping God in a Small Group. That's available through Sovereign Grace Ministries. It's an outstanding resource to practically help you in this area. Okay, we've talked about praying together and singing together. Let's talk about serving one another together through the exercise of the spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:7 talks about the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It refers to each of us being used by the Spirit to advance His work in people. 1 Corinthians 14:1 calls these manifestations spiritual gifts. Now, it's important to know that the list in 1 Corinthians 12 is not meant to be exhaustive or comprehensive. There are other listings of gifts in the New Testament. You see Romans 12 for an example there. The point is that the Spirit works in a wonderful variety of ways, and each of us should expect Him to use us for the common good of those in the local church, and specifically the common good of those in our small groups. Some of the gifts are spectacular in nature, the working of miracles, healing, prophecy. Some are less spectacular, or we could call them the unspectacular gifts, such as administration. Yet all require the personal activity of the Spirit in order to be useful. We should, as individuals and as a gathered small group, ask and expect the Spirit to work among us. From 1 Corinthians 12, we can highlight two ways that the Spirit works in our small group gatherings. First, let's talk about prophecy. Wayne Grudem helpfully defines prophecy as telling something that God has spontaneously brought to mind. This gift is not to be equated with that of the prophets in the Old Testament. It's not speaking infallible words from God. And this gift is not essentially telling the future. The person with the gift of prophecy, as described in 1 Corinthians 14:3, quote, speaks to people for their upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. That should be the trademark of any prophecy, is that it speaks to people for upbuilding, for their encouragement, and for their consolation. Now, how does this operate in a small group? Well, as you take time as a small group, and this is where your leadership is so essential, as you wait on the Spirit in your meeting, sometimes when praying for an individual, sometimes not, a person will get a thought spontaneously brought to mind by God's Spirit that may edify a particular person or the entire group. Let me give you a few cautions that you need to be aware of as a leader. These prophetic words do not have authority. The person receiving a prophetic word is responsible to test what he hears to see if it truly applies to him. And any word of prophecy must be consistent with the clear teaching of Scripture. Now let's talk about healing. Healing is a gift of the Spirit through which a person recovers from an illness or an injury by the prayer of one or more people. This is not inconsistent with seeking medical care. We believe that any healing by any means is a merciful gift from God our Father. Now, at times, this gift operates in a miraculous way. A person can recover in a way that cannot be explained by the body's normal restorative processes or by medical intervention. But at other times, it simply results in recovery, but not necessarily a spectacular recovery. Praying for healing often ministers the comfort and awareness of the presence of the Spirit when we just lay hands on a person we pray for. And two cautions you need to be aware of here as the leader. When we ask God to give a gift of healing, we should encourage the sick to put their trust in God and His power. That's where, as leaders, we are directing people's focus upward, outward, to God and His power to heal. However, a lack of healing is not necessarily an indication of a lack of faith. It could be that God, in His mercy, is teaching one of us perseverance through our suffering, teaching us to trust Him through our trial. Those who suggest otherwise misrepresent God in Scripture and can only compound the suffering of a sick person. A second caution to be aware of is that when we lay our hands on somebody, it's just not necessary to touch the sick or injured body part for this gift to operate. When we gather together in prayer, laying our hands on somebody, we're just following the scriptural principle and practice that we see in the New Testament. When believers gathered together in prayer, praying for an individual, often they laid hands on that individual. It's totally appropriate to just lay hands on a person's shoulder, to hold his or her hand, but we don't want to cross any boundaries of modesty or to do so in such a way that makes that person more aware of our presence than our prayers and God's presence. We're just seeking to come alongside and express that ultimately it's God's hand that's upon their lives. As you seek to build your small group into a spiritual community by serving one another with the Holy Spirit's gifts, lead your group to expect the Spirit's work and to act on His promptings. This is going to require faith, stepping out in faith as a group. You can do this by leading your group to pray to experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Luke 11 reminds us that if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So we want to lead our group to pray for this kind of experience. This is the Father's heart, that we would experience much of His Holy Spirit's presence. You can also encourage your group to desire an awareness of the Spirit's presence and to anticipate His work. 1 Corinthians 12:31 tells us, earnestly desire higher gifts. Earnestly desire. Is that your desire personally? For more of the Spirit's power, more of His presence, more of His gifts at work in your life? Let it be your desire personally, and let it be your expression of leadership to your small group. It's important that we believe that God wants to bless us through the ministry of His Holy Spirit, and it's biblical to desire His active presence so that we may experience His love and know the Savior better. We found that spiritual hunger and desire for the Holy Spirit's ministry is an important element in a group's experience. Where there's no desire, no expectation, and no room for the Spirit to work, rarely are spiritual gifts exercised, and your times together become simply a meeting. That's what we're seeking to avoid. Small groups are more than a meeting. They are the context for experiencing the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. Bible scholar Gordon Fee puts it this way: after all, seek earnestly after the better gifts for the edification of the body is an imperative, not a polite invitation. At the individual level, he writes, my stock answer is admittedly not always helpful. Hunger and thirst with openness. For some, this puts too much emphasis on the human rather than the divine side. And I too fear that. But my own experience in the church is that there is a clear correlation between our hunger after God on the one hand and our experience of God of the other. Hear that. There's a clear correlation between our hunger after God on the one hand and our experience of God on the other. This does not remove the experience of the Spirit of God from God's own sovereignty, nor does it imply that one hungering and thirsting does not already have the Spirit in full measure. I simply know no other practical solution. As a leader, you can also set aside time in your meetings for the group to wait for the Spirit to lead them to exercise their gifts. In small groups I've been a part of, that can look simply like, okay, we're going to take a few minutes now as we begin to pray, just to wait on God's Spirit. Let's ask Him to come, to manifest His presence, and to use us to build up one another through prayer, through prophetic giftings, through different impressions from the Holy Spirit. You can pray together as a group, and that's an ideal setting to encourage the practice and employment of the spiritual gifts. As the leader of your group, lead in prayer by inviting the Spirit to make His presence known, and to use the group to bless and minister to one another for the purpose of building one another up. And target your ministry to individuals. There could be somebody in your group who's facing a challenge to his faith. Could be with his vocation, could be with his family, relational challenge. Could be that somebody's enduring a trial. Oftentimes you're going to find this out just through casual conversation before the meeting begins. If so, ask them if you could take time as a group that evening to pray and ask for God's Spirit to minister to them as they're walking through this challenge. It could be that somebody's considering a ministry opportunity or a major life decision, and they really need wisdom from God. God's Word tells us that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously. That's something we can do when we pray for God's Spirit. We can pray that God would give the gift of wisdom, that God would minister to this individual by giving them wisdom to make a decision with faith regarding the opportunity that's before them. Or it could be the joy of somebody celebrating a significant milestone in their lives. We can pray for them. We can ask that God's Spirit would encourage them as they reach this milestone, that He would help them have eyes to see what it is He's doing in their lives through this transition or through this specific point in their life. Here are some helpful ways to do this. gather around that person and simply lay hands on him. Invite the Spirit to help you to pray and to bring His blessing to the recipient of your prayers. This doesn't need to be awkward. This can be entirely normal. Just simply inviting God's Spirit to help you. As you lead, be sensitive to the Spirit by observing the person's response to your ministry. It could be helpful at points to stop and ask the person what he or she is experiencing. If there's tears, if there's excitement, if there's concern, these can all be indications of how you are to direct your prayers. Avoid cutting your time if the person appears to be receiving significant help. Be led by the Spirit. If somebody is being impacted by the ministry of prayer, by the gifts of prophetic words or prayers, continue. Let them continue to be met by God. And you may want to just let the group know that you're going to continue to wait, and then invite the Spirit to continue to work through the individuals in the group. This is where, if a musician is available, it can be helpful to begin with a song and to have a musician play quietly in the background to help the group to concentrate and to wait with a Godward focus. While you should allow sufficient time for ministry, you should also be aware of people's endurance and schedules and close an appropriate time. Our experiences of excesses or wrong doctrines being expressed in these times, it's really been very infrequent. When someone does say or do something, however, that is unhelpful, maybe even incorrect, you should find a wise and gracious way to address what they said. It could be that you just talk to them one-on-one after the meeting and graciously let them know your concern. If you do have any question about how you handled that kind of interaction, just ask your pastor for evaluation. And lastly, just note that it often serves the person being prayed for if another person can take notes during times of ministry to record what has been said for future prayer and reference. There may have been prophetic words that were shared that, though they are meaningful to the individual, it's hard for the individual to remember the details. Just having somebody who's kind of your care group scribe during ministry times can be a very significant way to serve that individual, to go back, to once again be provoked to faith by what was prayed, by what was prophesied during that time. As we conclude our discussion of building a spiritual community in our small groups, it's important that we see that our active, watchful, and directive leadership is critical to the fruitfulness of any small group or any small group meeting. And this is especially so if we want to maximize participation and specific application of truth in the lives of our group members. We all can grow in leading meetings that expect and experience the Spirit's empowering presence. Now, this requires that we actively seek to discern His direction as we pray, both before and during the meeting. You can be Spirit-led in your preparation, and you can be Spirit-led during the meeting. We need to be intentional in our planning, our preparation, and our leadership, always watchful for potential opportunities to bring the group, to bring specific individuals into fresh encounters with the living God through the person and work of the Holy Spirit. As the leader, seek to lead your small group in praying together, singing together wherever possible, and in ministering to one another with the gifts that God's Spirit has placed in them. Let's build a spiritual community to the glory of God, where the gospel is increasingly on display in the lives of those we are privileged to serve. Let's together aim for much more than a meeting.